Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. Parshas Zav. Tzav v'sarum v'zban of Lemor. Zos v'asa ola hi ola al mokdalam. Yizbeha kol ala. The book of Vision is b'asuk kadbo. Command Aaron and his son saying, this is the Torah of the Korban Ola. It is the Ola that is brought on the fire and the Mizbeach all night until the morning, and the Ish Mizbeach to kadbo. The fires of the Mizbeach should be burned in it. Now, the Chassam Sofer says, Ola refers to a Baal Gaiva. A guy who has a lot of, you know, says a lot of stuff. What happens to such a guy? Mokdah. He is burned by the fire. But then why say Zos Torah Sa'ola? It's like teaching you how to be a Baal Gaiva. Like, that's a little bit off. If Ola is referring to a Baal Gaiva, then you tell me here's how you don't become a Baal Gaiva, not here's how to become a Baal Gaiva.
Ola, what you have done is burned, so this is how I like to stay away from being a Baal Gaiva.
No, it's just that the Ola refers to the Baal Gaiva, the person who's Ola, lifts himself up. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, this should be the exact opposite. So the idea is the following. The idea is obvious. It's because the rest of the parsha talks about the Truma Sedeshin. The Kohen, even though he's, you know, the great guy, the guy who's in charge of everything in the base of Mikdash, he has to sometimes be a garbage man. He takes the ashes and he takes them outside and he pours them inside, right by the what's it called, the little part by the Mizbeach. And the idea is the following, that the more you lower yourself, even though you're in a very high position, the greater HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes you, the higher HaKadosh Baruch Hu raises you. All Gedolim are known for cleaning up garbage in the hallways at some point, some part of their lives. Rabbi Shapiro from Ari Crown is well known for the fact that he went through the hallways, picking up the garbage throughout the hallways. The famous line, and I forgot who it was, and I wasn't able to look it up, about the Musser, one of the greats of Musser, who was in an Erev Yom Kippur, a guy saw him tearing toilet paper in the bathroom of the shul. He was the one tearing the toilet paper in the bathroom of the shul, just in case people would need toilet paper on Yom Kippur itself.
So how does that fit with the Gemara that says that a Talmud Chacham is a pater from returning a lost object that's beneath his dignity to pick up?
Yeah, that becomes something that's different once a person has. A person has
412.
So once a person has that sort of idea of I don't know, I guess of dignity that he's supposed to protect and he's supposed to have for himself, there's still something that as long as it's not going to be seen, or I guess whatever it is. I guess that would be the answer. It's a good question. I don't have an answer to the question. But the fact is, a person does pick up the garbage and do stuff like that, and it raises you. Now, as opposed to what you're asking, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. I don't know. I'm not so sure how it goes in. But the fact is, every time you're mashpul yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu raises you. That for sure applies. So here's the idea of Zos Torah Sa'ola. Here, someone who's truly raised and deserves to have gaiva, he ha'ola. If the gaiva comes on your own, that you do something on your own, you raise yourself on your own, then al mokta, then you will be burned. That person is going to be burned in Gehenna, al mizbeach kol ha'layla, and he'll be sacrificed in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu all night long, meaning all throughout the bad times that happen to him. That's on that. However, if he's going to lower himself and do the Truma Sedeshin, which is the rest of the parsha, the real Torah Sa'ola, the real way of becoming a true Baal Gaiva, by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, by you lowering yourself and a Kadosh Baruch Hu raising you up to a certain level, then you're Zocher to the Eisha Torah. So the real Eisha Torah. That's the line that the Chassam Sofer gives. So that's the Zos Torah Sa'ola over here. The line. By the way, that also answers up why the Mokta, the little letter Mem over here. Why is there a little letter Mem? It should be like a regular size Mem, just like everything else. The reason why is because he ola al mokta. You should lower yourself. That person who's a Baal Gaiva, who has too much, he should lower himself. Knock himself down a little bit. Make your Mem a little bit smaller. Make everything a little bit smaller. And then you don't have to worry about the fires. Okay, a little story.
So that's when we say Zotrava, that's when you'll be brought up if you lower yourself.
Exactly. If you lower yourself down first, that's how it's going to happen. Rav Yashiv said there was a famous king by the name of Agrippus. He was one of the Hashmonai kings of the Greek kingdom, when they had taken over from the Greeks. One of the Hashanai kings, Agrippus, wanted to bring 1,000 olos in a single day. 1,000 korban olos in one day. And the problem with that is that if you bring 1,000 olos, and an ola could be a cow or a sheep or a goat, the Kohanim are not going to have any time to take care of anything else. Agrippus wanted all 1,000 to be brought in one day. So he said to the Kohen Gadol, I don't want you to accept any other korbanos from anybody that brings by. Anybody that brings a korban on this day, nobody else can be accepted, only my olos. So one poor man came inside the Beis HaMikdash with two doves to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. And he gave them over to a Kohen, but the Kohen Gadol said, no, we need all our Kohanim for Agrippus, we're not going to be able to take anything like that. And the man cried out. He said, my job in this world is trapping birds. I trap 4 birds every day. I bring 2 to the Beis HaMikdash, and I keep 2 for myself. Two birds. I keep for myself two birds I bring to the Beis HaMikdash every day. If you don't bring these two birds to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm not going to have any parnasa. I won't be able to make any money at all. I won't have anything at all. He truly believed that all the money he made in this world, everything he made, came from the two birds that he gave to the Beis HaMikdash. From those two birds that he gave his korbanos. So the Kohen Gadol felt so bad for the guy. He's like sitting there, he capitulated. He's like, I'll bring them. So he goes in and he brings those two birds along with 1,000 doulos of Agrippus. That night, a malach came to the king in a dream, and he told Agrippus, he told him the following. That korbanani, those two birds, was greater than your 1,000 fattened sheep. Your 1,000 fattened sheep, all your big korbanos. Those two birds were better than all of them. He woke up, called out to the Kohen Gadol, and asked him, what happened? I thought you weren't going to bring anything else. And Agrippus agreed. In the end of the day, the Kohen Gadol made the right decision. You have something like that, the Kohen Gadol made absolutely the right decision. When something like that happens, you go ahead and you say to yourself, that's perfectly fine, you can go ahead and bring those birds. Rav Yashiv learns that there's three different types of korbanos from that story. Number one, a person who truly believes that all their parnasa comes from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It all stems from their korbanos. They give to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives back to me. And if I don't bring my korban, which is untruly felt, if I don't bring these two birds, then I will have nothing at all. Tomorrow I won't get any birds. No birds will fall into my traps. He honestly felt that. He honestly believed that. That's the number one korban that a person can bring. Number two is Agrippus. He brought a ton of korbanos, but there wasn't any real... It wasn't a real Nisayan. It wasn't a real test. He was extremely rich. To bring 1,000 olas for Agrippus, the king, is not that big of a deal. It's a very, very easy thing to do. That's a second level of korbanos. The third level and the worst level of korbanos is Kayin. Kayin brought me Moser Achilaso. Everything he left over, everything he didn't want to eat, that's what he brought as his korban. He brought that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here's the idea. Zos Torah Sa'ola. Every korban, everything that's in korbanos can be compared to learning. There are three different types of people. There are some people who learn only because they truly believe that all of their health, their parnasa, and everything else that they have in this world is all because they learn. If they didn't learn and if they didn't daven every day, they would not be healthy, they would not have anything, they would not make any money, and they wouldn't have anything else. That is the ultimate type of person who's learning. And they realize that even when it's extremely hard, they make it out there and they try to learn. They get themselves to learn, even when it's the hardest thing in the world. Because how can they go? They're not going to be able to make any money. They won't be able to do anything else with their lives if they don't do it. That's one type of person. Type of person number two, they set aside the time, but it's not such an isayon. I mean, it's not such a test. It's very easy for them, and they're not losing out on anything else because of it. And it's very easy for them to pick himself up and go to Minyan for whatever reason, or very easy for him to pick himself up and go to learning. It's just easy for him. Once a guy has that, maybe he's grown his entire life that way. It's been easy for him. That's the second type of a guy where it's not that much of a challenge. And if it's not that much of a challenge, whatever. It's nice. It's great, and at least you're able to learn a lot. But it's not there. And then there's the third. The Kayin type people are those who don't really care. They turn on the TV to see if something else is on, or they look up something on the internet, and when they have time, like then they turn it off. They come like a half an hour late, or an hour late, or 2 hours late to something, or whatever it is, and thinks that they were there the whole time. Yeah, I was there. What are you talking about? I was there. You know those guys. The guys that always say they were there when they weren't there. That guy. The guy who says he was there.
For part of it.
I'm sorry? Better than that. Oh, Baruch Hashem. There's no question. There's no question. It's much better to do at least something rather than nothing. Right? 100%. Unless that's not what the person is working for. If the person has been doing this and that and the other, and then all of a sudden he starts being lackadaisical and going less and less and less, that's where you got to say to the guy, you don't say to the guy, wow, at least you're coming. You say to the guy, you got to start working a little bit more. Dave, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that in this day and age, I would say that not the majority, well, maybe the majority of people probably encompass all three.
Oh, there's no question. There are always times where you're going to have one or the other. But what a person should try to do is strive to be able to make one of these their ikker. And obviously we know which one. It's not going to be number three.
Say that's missing a certain type of person, like a person who's going off and he's working and then he sets aside time, but it's just challenging.
All these are talking about people that set aside time. They're all setting aside time. Each one of them is setting aside time. It's just one is, I know I have to learn for that hour a day, because if I don't, I'll have nothing. The other guy who, it's not that big of a challenge, but I'll set aside the hour a day. And the third one is like, whatever I have left of that hour, I'll give to learn.
What about the person that wants to, he knows that he's relying on that hour of learning, but that is, the challenge is to realize that it's the hour of learning. Meaning, I recognize that it's...
Yeah.
I recognize
that. So bring yourself to that. to bring yourself to that challenge. Yeah, to bring yourself up to that level to be able to get there. You know what Rabbi Yashiv calls the third one, the third category? He calls them Yehudi Dayenus. Listen to this line. I never heard this before, but it's hilarious. This is what Yashiv calls him. Ilu karavanu lifnei har sinai v'lo nasan lanu l'satara. If you would have brought us to Har Sinai and you wouldn't have given us a Torah, dayenu. That would have been enough. The guy is like, just bring us to Har Sinai. You didn't have to give us the Torah. That would have been fine. Ilu echilanu es aman. If you would have given us the man with all the taste in the world, lanu nasan lanu es a Shabbos, and you wouldn't have given us Shabbos, dayenu. I'm fine with that. I'm good. What do I need Shabbos for? Ilu echnisanu la'aretz Yisrael. If you would have brought us to Eretz Yisrael, below bana lanu is base of achir. You wouldn't have built the base of Mekdash, dayenu. That's a Yehudi dayenu. Yehudi dayenu is the guy who says, like, I don't really need this stuff. I'll live with it, whatever it is. But he doesn't find it important. He doesn't find it like something that is a major part of his life. And that's the challenge. Right there is the challenge. Make it a part of your life. Not only that you have to do it. You feel like you can't go on without it. You can't live without it. That's the concept. Okay, new thing over here. Throughout the Parsha, we mentioned Bnei Aaron. It's throughout the entire thing. Tzav is Aaron v'ez banav lemor. Right? It's Aaron and his children saying, Zos Torah Samincha hakriv osa Bnei Aaron. The sons of Aaron are going to be makrivid in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zek korban Aaron uvanav. The korban of Aaron and his sons. Dabar alam v'el banav lemor. Each time it mentions Aaron and his sons. So the Medrash says an unbelievable little line over here. The idea is like this. That not only is Kuna inherited, but the rights to the Kuna Gedola always go to the next son in line. The Kohen Gadol is usually the next child. It comes from Perek Vav, Pasuk Tesvav. Right over here it says, the Kohen HaMashiach, the Kohen who is anointed, Tachtav Mibanav. He is under him from his sons. We learn from that pasuk over there that the Kohen Gadol inherits his rights to the Kuna Gedola to his children after him. The children after him become the Kohen Gedola. So the Medrash says the following. Moshe Venu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, I don't get it. Why me? Why don't I get my children after me? He had Chalisha Zadass. He was so upset that Aaron was chosen to be the Kohen Gadol and not for him. And then Aaron and his sons, he said, what about me? Why don't I get to be the Kohen Gadol and my children after me? Why can't it be that way as well? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, don't worry. I gave you the Torah. And the Torah, without it, the whole world would be lost. So number one, the three questions. Why was Moshe upset about his brother becoming Kohen Gadol? I mean, Aaron wasn't upset when Moshe became the Navi and the leader of Klal Yisrael. Why would Moshe be upset that Aaron got the Kuna Gedola? What, Moshe needed everything? Number two, there's a Gemara in Zvachim, Kuf Bezim and Aleph, that says, Moshe Benu Shimish Bekuna Gedola Kol Yamav. Moshe Benu was a Kohen Gadol all the days of his life. What is he complaining about? He is a Kohen Gadol. He also served in the Beis Hamikdash during those 7 days. What's he complaining about? Number three, what's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's answer back to him? Don't worry, you have the Torah. What's that answer exactly?
He wanted to go in Kodesh Kedoshim. He wanted to be able to get
But he did. Moshe did it for 7 days. He did have it. And the kids, what is he asking about his kids? Here's the idea.
But for 7 days, it was during the first week of Nissan. So he didn't...
The last week of Adar.
Whatever it was. I mean, yeah. It's not Yom Kippur.
But exactly right. So we didn't do the Yom Kippur Avodah. Okay, granted, he didn't do the Yom Kippur Avodah. But Yom Kippur Avodah is not what he was... He's complaining right now about the whole bringing up of Aaron and his kids and everything like that.
He wanted to have it. But just, I mean, he wasn't jealous of him. He just wanted...
For sure. But there's still more to it than just that.
Well, I don't know. I thought that the Kohen Gadol was not passed on.
Okay.
Here's
Allah. It is brought down from this pasuk. Kohen HaMashiach tachtav mi banav. Okay? But it has to be tachtav. Meaning Allah is the following. Moshe heard that Aaron's children will take his place, but only if they're roi to yarshin his position. If not, then somebody else will take his position. But the Kohen Gadol's sons come first more than anything else. And it's a gzeres hakasuv. Pasuk says it must go this way. That the Yerusha will happen from him to his son. That isn't true regarding Torah. If a rabbi is in charge of a shul, a rabbi cannot demand that his son takes over his position. Because when it comes to Torah, you go with the greatest person there. Even if there's a child who's roi, who's fitting to take over the position, if there's someone else who's greater than that son, that someone else who's greater comes first. And someone else who's greater gets a level that's right before that guy. A Rosh Yeshiva, it's not automatic that his son becomes Rosh Yeshiva. It's not automatic that that son becomes the next person in charge. It doesn't always happen that way. After Moshe Rabbeinu died, he knew his children were not going to take over after him. And he was upset. He said, I don't get it. Why by the Kohen Gadol is it automatic that Aaron gets to have his kids go automatically as long as they're roi. While by me it's not so, my children are roi to take over from me after I die. Why can't my children automatically become the leaders? Why can't they become the leaders of Klal Yisrael? And the answer is, says Rav Yashiv, there's two ways to be kona something. Outwardly, like a sale, you know, you buy something from somebody, or you grab something, you do kinyan hagbah, you lift something up to make it yours, or whatever it is, that's a kinyan. And inwardly, to make something a part of your entire system. You know, there's a comparison made. Malchus has 30 milos, 30 different things that Malchus has, 30 different things that a king must do. Kahuna has 24 milos, 24 matnos kahuna that are given over to him, and Torah has 48 milos. So everybody asks, what in the world is the comparison? The kuna gedola, kahuna gets 24 matanos, meaning that's a gift that the kohen automatically gets. No matter how bad the kohen is, the kohen gets those matanos kuna. The melech automatically is 30 milos. Even if the melech is the worst melech in the world, those 30 things that the king gets, 30 things that the king must do, those are things that are automatic, that's right there. By Torah, there's 48 milos. In order to get the Torah, you have to do the 48 things. They're mentioned in Perkei Avos. You have to do these 48 things in order to get it. So what's the comparison over here? And the answer is, says Rav Yashiv, they're milos, that once you acquire them, they stay within your system. And therefore, Torah is totally different from the other two. Torah has nothing to do with Malchus and Kahuna, which is sort of automatic, that if you're born, you automatically get them. This is different. You have to bring in those milos in order to gain what the Torah is trying to say. Because that's the point behind Torah. It's not automatic. It's not Yarshant. You could be the son of the greatest tzaddik in the generation. That doesn't mean you're going to be a tzaddik. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean you're going to be a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't mean you're going to be a Gadol. It could mean just the opposite, that you're the biggest Rasha in that generation. Being born from such a great man does absolutely nothing, because everything in this world requires effort. A person has to work for everything they get in this world. That's the point of this world. Nothing comes for free. Nothing comes for free. And you can't give it over straight to your child. And that was the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen, Kuna Gedola, the kingdom, things like that, those things are Yarshan. Those things automatically go over to their children. But Torah is different. Torah is something that you got to work on. Torah is something that you have to do. Torah is something that you have to do for yourself. And if you don't work on it, if you don't start doing something for it, it's never going to happen. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood that. He understood that and he said, I get that. That makes sense to me. And that's why my children don't go in. There's a Shalos V'tshuvas Chassam Sofer. Ora Chaim Siman Yud Beis. He says the following. He got this child while he was on vacation. He writes at the very beginning. I was on vacation, but I felt like I needed to write you back. Now, it's amazing, by the way. Chassam Sofer never used Sfarim when he wrote back his tshuvas. He never used Sfarim. He used to do it during dinner. So his son, the Ksav Sofer, or the other sons of Chassam Sofer, Reb Shimon Sofer, they would read out the questions posed to him, and he would be eating his whatever it is while he was eating his dinner, while he heard the questions, and they would just give him all the questions. And then after dinner was over, he would start writing. And he started writing down all the answers to the questions. The Ksav Sofer asked him once, and he said, Abba, how is it Shayach that he didn't make any mistakes? How in the world are you writing down all these tshuvas? You haven't looked anything up. He was doing this every day and every night. Every single day, this is what happened to him. And he said, it's such a line from the Ksav Sofer. He said, there's always one person in the generation who is chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have Ruach HaKodesh to answer correctly. Since I'm getting more mail than anyone else in this generation, I'm assuming it's me. So I know that I have the Ruach HaKodesh to answer it correctly. So unless I have a suffix or unless I have doubts in my head, I don't look anything up, because I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me what I'm supposed to answer. That was the line of the Chassam Sofer. He's on vacation. He has no Sfarim with him, whatever Sfarim he has, like the Gemara's or whatever it is, but he has no other Shalos Jews. He writes his long, three-columned tshuva while he's on vacation in the middle of nowhere. That's the Chassam Sofer. He's quite a funny person. He says first that all minuyim of Jews. I'm sorry?
Where do you go on vacation?
I have no idea. No, he goes to these places where there's air or whatever it is, you know? Like there's these vacation spots where there's just like foresty areas. It's not like a city. That's what they used to do back then.
Does he address why Moshe Rabbeinu's children go camping?
Yes, okay. He does. He goes through it. He says, all minuyim of Jews are given Birusha. They're all given Birusha. It's Birusha from Ksuvas Kufyat Gimel. There's a caveat. He has to be Roy and Memale Makom Avosav. He has to fill up his father, right? So all minuyim. So different minuyim that a person could have, like a Gabbai Tzedakah, a Sofer, or the guys that whip people, the people that are in charge in a Beis Din, not the Dayanim, but the people that are in charge of a Beis Din, officers of law, that goes down to your child. If, as long as the person is Roy, then he 100% takes over over for his father. That's how it goes by things like that. But if he's an idiot, then he can't take over. Because why? Because Malchus, that's just, Malchus is not done that way. You don't give it to silly people. It has to be somebody who's Roy. They wouldn't give it. Now, I'll give an example. You know what? I don't want to give an example. There is a Hasidus in which the only child had Down syndrome. They didn't give it to the child. I mean, that's obvious, right? Mm-hmm. You give it to the next person who's Roy, as long as that person is Roy.
Right,
but if the person does not have
it. Are they all Roy? I mean, is there nobody else who's... I mean, isn't that a Keter Shel Torah to be a Hasid?
They call it a leadership position. That's what they call...
But he's looked to as the religious leadership also.
Don't
you feel that discriminatory?
Yes. Who cares? So either way, regardless, the promise given to David HaMelech that his children will rule after him is not only that his children are going to rule after him, not just David HaMelech's children are going to end up becoming kings after him, it's that his children will all be Roy to rule after him. There will never be a child who's going to be next in line to become king who's not going to be Roy. Even Avshalom was Roy to become a Melech. Adoniyahu was also Roy to become a Melech. But Shlomo Melech was chosen for other reasons that David HaMelech felt fitting for him. But regardless, David HaMelech would always have children that are Roy to be able to Yarshin the Malchus. That was the bracha given to him. Unlike Edom, at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, if you look through the kings of Edom mentioned at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, there is not one father-son combination. You know why? Because not one of them was Roy at all. Now, one of them was even close to being Roy. And even though normally kingdoms of other nations always go father to son, no matter who it is, and even if the son is not Roy, these guys were so far off, they were never close to becoming kings, so therefore they had to go to another person altogether. That's why Edom was such a disgusting nation, that they couldn't put these guys up as kings. They were such tremendous fools. They were worse than the worst fools of any other king out there. So all those types of things. But that's only regarding...
Democratic at the time.
The original king?
No, like in Edom. Well, there was no democratic.
No, nothing like that. They had to find the strongest guy.
Who's they?
The next strongest guy. Whoever the Edomites would find, whoever wanted to take over, he would take over whoever it was. But no sons took over. There were no sons among those eight that are mentioned over there. And that's the concept that's brought up over here. When it comes to Torah, though, obviously it's different. It's given to the most qualified person. That might apply by chazanim as well. By the way, a chazan might apply as in a rov, because the Keser Torah is hefker for anyone to take. However, somebody who's wanted by the tzibor is always better than anybody else in that tzibor, as long as a person is still a gadol b'Yisrael, still he's a gadol. But that still would count.
The rabbi of a shul doesn't necessarily have to be the greatest.
He doesn't necessarily, as long as the rut. Yes, 100%. As long as he's rutsui and rutsui by the Roy for the position, and he's a tzaddik. Right? But it doesn't mean you have to take the greatest Talmud Chacham if the Talmud Chacham is an antisocial, you know, a guy who can't deal with those types of things.
But the irony is, though, that the people who are deciding, who are rutsui, the people whose rutson is considered, they also determine if the person's roi.
100%. The tzibur has to decide, which obviously is discriminatory, and that's a problem, but we have there is no other way to make
process.
A leader.
Is it like a democratic vote majority wins? Is it two-thirds?
Yeah.
Is it like...
Yeah, you go by the person who has the most votes, meaning the person who's there. Just finish thought. The very last thing is, the raya for all this is a medrash in Bamidbar, which was what you asked for, Aaron. Yifkad alokei ruchos. Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, find somebody to lead all of Klal Yisrael. Because Moshe Rabbeinu always thought that his sons were going to lead Klal Yisrael, right? And he thought that was that. And Hashem told him, no. Yoshua gave you a lot of kavod, and Yoshua served you well in Olam Hazeh, so therefore he's going to take over for you when you die. Moshe knew the leader had to know everyone in Bnei Yisrael. Right, he knew he had to know everyone. He wouldn't have said that his sons were Roy if he didn't honestly think his sons were Roy for the position. If he didn't honestly think that. He knew. He never would have davened for them to take over the position if he didn't think that they were perfect and that they deserved this position. They did. The sons of Moshe Rabbeinu were perfect. They did deserve the position. They were tremendous. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said that Yoshua was more Roy. He never said that Yoshua was better suited for the position. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Nowhere does it say that. It says he cleaned up the Sfarim in the base Medrash. It says that he cleaned up the books and he set up the tables. That's what he did. So what does that mean? Because when it comes to Keser Torah, it does not go... The fact that you're the son of the Rav means nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's who is the next person who is Ratzui by the people. I know where Yoshua was chosen. He sat by Har Sinai and he waited for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down. And when he did that, and his sons didn't do that, but he waited there, right there was when everybody said, he's the guy. He is the man. Yeah, granted, Shevet Levi didn't have anything to do with the Egel Azov. They didn't have anything to do. So Moshe's sons were leading Shevet Levi, and everybody was fine. But Yoshua connected with Moshe Rabbeinu, and they wanted somebody who connected with Moshe Rabbeinu that well. Not that they weren't ready, Gershom and Eliezer, but these people were greater than anybody else. But Elazar took over for Aaron. Nobody else will take over the Kuna Gedola position, because talk to me about it. Very quickly, the summary: don't be a Balgaiva, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will raise you up again. There are three types of korbanos, meaning three types of ways of learning. Torah is different from Kuna Gedola. Torah does not go to the kids, unlike Kuna Gedola, and the Chassam Sofer explains why. That's what we got to. We'll stop with that. It's time for